Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we have some special coverage for you here for Big Brother 22 on a Friday here, coming to you live. We're very excited to have a great guest here with us to talk about what she's seeing happening in the house. She was a member of the original Big Brother All-Stars, and she's here to weigh in on what's happening on the current iteration of Big Brother All-Stars. Very excited to have Erica Landon is here with us today. Erica, how are you?
Doing very well. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing great. Very excited to have you here with us live to talk about everything that's happening in the house. Also with us, a man who is catches it all on the live feeds. Taryn Armstrong is here. Taryn, how are you?
Very excited. We're here with an original all-star. So that's super exciting.
Yes, and also here with...
Confusing, right? Is it like, are they just both all stars? Is that the all star crew? I mean, we couldn't have been like you know, no difference. Just everyone's offer.
Yeah, they could have come up with another name. Something.
It's all stars, the next generation.
Mm-hmm. That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
That's been brilliant.
And also here with us to talk about everything that's going on. I got to talk to her last night. She loves shepherd's pie and pot roast. Here is Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I never thought that I was going to be the face of shepherd's pie, but I woke up to about 50 tweets about it. So I think I think I know what my brand is now.
All the people that love shepherd's pie, they found their champion. And it's
exactly.
Mary.
Love it with shepherd's pie.
Okay. Yes.
Erica, so nice to have you here with us. How have you been?
I've been great. So thank you so much for having me. It's just, I love Big Brother time. I mean, you know, before I actually got on the show, I was a fan. So this is just a good time. It's like, you know, summer is here. It's Big Brother. It's just, it's fun. I'm excited. And I actually, you know, when I first saw the cast announced, it was like one of those moments. And this is like totally not a diss because I love this cast. But you know, when you have a moment and you like sit down in a restaurant and you look at a menu and then you like kind of like look at the other side, like, oh, is there like another, are there more people that like kind of, do you know that feeling?
This is it.
They don't have pizza.
I'm fine with what was here, you know, like, cause I'm going to have a sandwich and, you know, there's some good fries, but you know, I was like, where's the Derek or the Will or the, you know, I mean, and honestly, that's not a diss because I've actually kind of grown to love who's on, but that's my initial thought. Yeah.
Erica, are you still very tapped in with the Big Brother world where that you were hearing everything that was going on in the pre-gaming leading up to the season?
I mean, I'm not like totally immersed because I actually have a job and stuff that I have to do. But I have heard a little bit about like there was some drama with Dan and they got kicked out and Derek and I don't know. I mean, I heard a little bit of that. And then I know there's some beef with Janelle and Nicole about The Amazing Race. So I guess I am hard. I'm sucked in.
Yeah,
I think
you got it
sounds
all.
Sounds like you pretty caught up.
I think I know it all. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a little bit about that, but yeah. Is there a truth to the rumors that we don't know?
We're here to ask you.
Yeah, you tell us.
Oh, God. I wish I knew more. I mean, I think I know that for a fact that Josh and Casey got COVID, right? Like they tested positive.
Allegedly. I don't know if we're ready to. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's
the rumor.
That's what I heard. But so, I mean, those are a couple that would have probably been really good. But I don't really know anything else about. All I know is that some people were saying that production, that Dan and Derek did something and production kicked them out. And I know, if I know anything about production and Big Brother production, is that if they want you on the show, you're going to be on the show.
Right.
Whether or not you've done, they're very kind of like, okay, just don't do that again, slap, but we want you. So yeah. I think that they really passed. They must have passed.
Yeah, that we, I think, have all said that it's laughable to think that production would have wanted Dan or Derek, but that somebody reported them for pre-gaming and they wouldn't have them on the show.
That's totally ridiculous. I mean, we totally all pre-gamed and, you know, they did the same thing to us. They're like, don't pre-game, but they all knew that we were going. I mean, it like became kind of part of the show. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think any kind of anything that gives them story or anything to write about is good fodder, you know.
Yeah.
They need content, so why not, you know.
Okay.
I almost wish they tapped into that more, though, and showed us some flashbacks of the conversations that people were having, you know, on with all the amazing race drama and everything.
Yeah, that could have been kind of an interesting tie-in. I mean, it is their network, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, Erica, here we are, 2 weeks in, and it seems as though the old school players, the original All-Stars that you played with, Kacer and Janelle, have been on the hot seat, really, since the beginning of this game. What have you thought about how your All-Stars castmates have been doing this season?
I mean, I think, of course, I'm rooting for them. I'm going to stay loyal to my season. And you know what? I was actually talking to Dick yesterday, and I said, I really appreciate the kind of like, she's really matured, not only as a human being, but as a, you know, not only as a player, but as a human being. And when she actually cried yesterday, it was like such a shocking, I'm like, I could tell because Kacer was shocked as well to see that she actually, like, you know, she was the original fembot, and it was kind of nice to see her kind of a vulnerable, real kind of moment with her. So I've always been a fan of Janelle. I was a huge fan of hers when she was on Six. And then when I got to play with her, I wish I could have played with her more, but she was so, you know, surrounded by all the season six people that it, you know, just became, I mean, you know, all how that played out at the end, but yeah, I mean, I she's great. She's always great. She's good TV. And I think her game has gotten better. I mean, I think she's like kind of now that this is her fourth time playing, I think she's kind of like, all right, she's taken like all the good parts from everybody that has played the game well. And I think she's like, it's like her time.
Can you answer the question? Is Janelle-icy real?
What does that mean?
Janelle-icy is what people are calling it.
I mean, you know, it's hard. I think it's when you're such a big fan of hers watching and then you play with her, it's such a different experience. And it's hard not to admire her and love her. I mean, she's the queen of Big Brother. Let's just call it like it is. But, you know, but you got to get them out. You've got to get her out. She is people are probably jealous of her, but she also has to go if you want to win the game. And now that I think she's really matured, she's even more dangerous.
It's been such a struggle for her, though, this season. What is she doing wrong?
What is she doing wrong? Well, you know, God, what is she doing wrong? I don't know. I mean, it's so early to say what she's doing wrong. I think she's doing...
I know, but Erica, it's getting late soon for Janelle.
Yeah.
You could tell us. You could tell us.
What do you really want to know?
I want to know, what are you seeing that she's doing right? I know that you love her as a person, but in this game, like her and Kacer are really on the ropes now in the early going.
They are now, but I think that, you know, that could cool. It just really depends on whether or not her and Kacer are able to gather some more people, like Ian or like who else could she grab? I mean, if she could grab Enzo or... Who else could she grab?
See, that's the problem. These people are going to...
Erica has notes if you're listening to the podcast.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's still at this point, I know they're like really in trouble, her and Kacer, but, you know, there's still two things I have to, you know, the safety suite and have nominations even gone up? Are they up? Are they up?
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, I mean, is there something about her, you know, in all of the seasons that Janelle has played, it does seem like she has trouble like finding like deep personal bonds with other players in the house. Is that something that you noticed when you played with her?
She's very competition focused, and that's her game. You know, her game is winning competitions and relying on that skill over, you know, creating those interpersonal bonds with people, which I think I think is changing. I think from what I've seen that it's getting better, but people are questioning it because she's never done it in the past. Nicole was like, oh, I know you're playing me. And here she is like, you know, crying over her, which I was shocked to never ever see her cry. But I think that, you know, she's going to have to use more of that to get her farther.
Yeah. She needs to let them see her cry. You know, she let Kacer see it. But I remember it being a plot point in season 14 that she was talking about how she rarely cries, how she didn't cry when she gave birth, how she didn't, you know, any of that. And I almost feel like, use that. Show people you've changed. Show people that you have this side to you where they might start trusting you more.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, you know, they'd just be like, she's faking it.
Fake crying.
They don't believe her. They won't. They never. No one ever believes anything you say or do. It's always game. Which I mean, most of the time it probably is. But it's really hard to have a real moment in a Big Brother house because everybody is questioning you. I remember when I hurt myself during one of the competitions in All Star, and everyone thought I was faking it. And it was like, no, I actually think I broke my rib. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to, you know, once you've established yourself as a player and who you are, it's hard for, you know, to then change that.
Erica, a lot has been made this season about the difference between the old school game and the new school game. And as somebody who's played in the old school game but watched it all the way through, can you really sort of like put your finger on what it is about the difference between the styles of play?
It's so funny because I hate that there's an old in front of anything that has okay, so what I see, and I see it in a lot of kind of competition reality shows, is that things have kind of sped up a little bit more. Like everything is like faster, and it's less of a, you know, Big Brother, when I played, it was a little bit more of a slow burn, a little bit more, you know, no one really showed their cards ever really. I mean, it was weird that Memphis actually just showed his cards, and then like Cody went and showed his cards. I was like, wait a second. Everyone slow down. So I think what it is to me, I think it just feels faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw that too, especially with Kacer and Janelle, where you know, Cody was building alliances early. Tyler was trying to take the game slow, but to him that meant like take the first few days to get to know people, then start forming alliances. With Janelle and Kacer, they really waited a much longer time to start really trying to put people together. And it was a little late.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. It's just, they're just used to a different pace. And especially Kacer's already kind of like, that's him. He's like very kind of genuine, very like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like when you're just very on purpose, he's very thoughtful. So he doesn't kind of, that's not his behavior. He doesn't think that way. So he's just not going to play that way. It was really funny to actually see his like very first diary rooms where I think they were kind of like egging him on to like, you know, Kacer, you're going to do it. But then I was like, oh, it just seems so fake.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, oh, that's not Kacer. Like he's just, that's not him, you know? So
in the both of the two seasons that you played, there was sort of a mentality early on of like, these people are the enemy, these are on the outs, whether it had been in season four with the exes, and then in season seven, everyone was going after the Big Brother six group. You know, there was a lot of people from that season. I wonder if part of the difference this season is there hasn't really been a collective group to target and go after. There's these big name pairs and players, but that has resulted in a lot of these newer school players just kind of getting together and moving quicker in the beginning. I wonder if there could have been another way that Janelle and Kacer could have targeted a group, kind of like you guys did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with Kacer and Janelle, I think that since everybody kind of has their number, that it's, you're either going to have to like be super fans of them and want to work with them, or you're going to want them out. You know, for me, I think I would play with them because you always know where you stand with both of them. I mean, that's such a plus to know where, like, you know, Janelle is going to be loyal. She's just a loyal player. And so is Kacer. So why would you not want to play with people that you're like, I know exactly where they stand all the time, over someone like, I don't know, Kevin, who you're like, I don't know, or Enzo, where you're like, he's a total wild card. But yeah.
You mentioned some of the pre-gaming that happened in the original All-Stars. Did you pre-game at all with Janelle back then? What was it like before, like pre-season before All-Stars?
gosh, let me see if I can think that far back. You know, I think there was a lot of pre-gaming, and I think literally everybody that went into the house was aligned with everybody. Like, I was aligned with, you know, I aligned with Janelle, I aligned with Mike, I aligned with Marcellus. I mean, we were all friends. You know, we all had known each other for a really long time, and we all kind of had an idea of who was going to be on All Star. So we all just kind of kept in touch, and, you know, everybody was aligned with everybody, but then it just kind of was really unfair that, and it, you know, I always say unfair, like that's just the game of Big Brother, but you know, that they brought in a huge alliance of season sixers. And that was like, you know, I was put in with my arch nemesis. You know, Janelle had Kaser, Howie, you know, so it's kind of like, all right, well, this is, you know, I had to play it a certain way because I was put in alone, essentially. So even though a lot of people hate the floater strategy, it's just how I was kind of forced to play because I didn't have anyone to play with. Like if they put Jack in there or they put someone else that I was friends with, I would have absolutely played that strategy. But because I was alone, I had to kind of, you know, and, you know, I hate that everyone like, has such, I think the floater strategy is, it's a strategy. And for people to say, oh, you know, I hate floaters. It's just,
well,
it's
you're
just
talking to the right people. Erica.
Yeah. We're big fans.
It's a way to get to the end. And, you know, I actually heard Taryn say this the other day. He's like, people emulate strong strategies that they've seen other people play in their season. So I went into All Stars with June winning my season. So June won Big Brother 4 as a floater. So I knew that I'm like, okay, well, that works. So let me see if I can do as well. So
That's interesting. I feel like that it comes up more in terms of Survivor because we have so many people that come back and play that from Survivor on returning player seasons where on Big Brother, we don't typically have a ton of returning player seasons or it's only a couple people come back that we say that people take on the qualities of the person who won their season. So that is interesting to sort of like do that exercise when we're talking about this cast also.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then you have the few winners who are just coming back trying to play their exact same game.
Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, why are we not targeting winners? Is there a thing that, like, are we, like, thinking they're not good players?
Some people keep forgetting that they are winners.
I think part of it is that
I came in and I was like, okay, don't we all think we should get Will out? Should he be first on, like, all of our lists?
I mean, Will just complained the whole time, right? He was just like I don't even want to be here, don't even bother taking me out.
Right. And it got him really far.
Can you compare the pace of the first All-Stars versus this All-Stars, where it feels like that this game has been very tight in terms of nobody really wants to make any sort of big moves here early on?
Yeah, I was trying to think back when I did my season. I think we kind of came out guns blazing my first going after like really big players. But, you know, I think that I lost my train of thought. I think that it's okay to kind of let it unfold a little bit slowly. And I think that what Memphis did was fine. And, you know, I think that, yeah, we all want to watch big game moves and we want people to put like, you know, Kaser and Janelle on the block because we know they're aligned. But, you know, it's like, do you want to make a TV or do you want to win Big Brother? Me, I wanted to win Big Brother, but, you know, that's how that goes.
I mean, I imagine that part of what made All-Stars or the original All-Stars kick off so fast is that Janelle was HOH week one and Janelle does play hard and fast. What? If we had seen a Janelle week one HOH this season, I bet she would have gone straight for, you know, someone big.
She would have. You know, that's interesting. That's so true. That's so true. I think it's really because of who got it. And you know what? Memphis was so protected, so he didn't have to make a big move. Wait, who was the first HOH?
Cody
was the first one, yeah.
Right. And neither did he. Mm-hmm. You know, the couple of HOHs, you're like golden, you know, because it's like you have so many people to pick from. And then if you put yourself in a big alliance, you're really protected. You know, those two, they're kind of sitting pretty, except for that they made that really stupid mistake of just showing all their cards. And that was, what are they doing?
Good question.
I'm a little frustrated.
Yeah.
I told my husband, I said, watch. I said, Memphis is going to tell him not to say anything. And then Cody is going to go and he's going to tell the whole alliance. Nicole is going to freak out. I literally called the whole thing. He was like, why did he just do that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why they showed their cards. I'm like, why did they have to do that? And then we don't see anyone saying, like anyone in the diary room say, like, well, like we had no reaction to any of that happened. Like, oh, I mean, Memphis, if I were Memphis, I'd be like, well, why did you say, I told you not to say. And like, we saw none of that kind of play out. So.
I mean, they managed to stay, I think, under the radar in terms of like their bond, Memphis and Cody. And part of it too with that situation is that Kacer had approached Christmas as well with this information, and so Cody was able to say that he got the information from Christmas, and so it kind of was able to spread that. But Kacer and Janelle were telling a lot of people eventually, so it was very widely known information.
Erica, do you have any friendships with any of the other cast members that are playing in this season from being a part of the Big Brother alumni community?
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at this list and I am friends with Danielle. I know Memphis actually really well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to develop a television show about him and his restaurants.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we've been like really, we were in contact for a really long time. I interviewed a bunch of his people that he works for. So we're pretty tight.
Right, well, let's stop down and talk about a couple of them. Okay. So, so from what you know about Memphis and his management style and how he's run his restaurants, how did you think that he handled his HOH? Was that about what you were expecting?
No, you know, I guess I wasn't. I don't know. That's a tough question. I guess he's the boss. So yeah. That's kind of how he feels on the show right now. He's kind of like, you know, he's like really, he's dad. He's dad right now. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how he feels, I think, in his restaurants. But he's tough dad, you know.
Yeah.
Is he cold all the time in real life?
Are you referring to the jackets?
Yeah. Yeah. And the scarves.
And the jackets and the lots of layering that mm-hmm. he's going on.
But also
does
a shirt with no sleeves.
Does he walk around in that denim?
The opposite, but the best. Not sure what the vests are really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You mentioned Danny that you have a friendship with. What do you think about how she's played this season?
I love Danny. That's my girl. I think that, how is she playing? I think that she could have reeled it in a little bit talking to Memphis. I didn't think that she should have shown her card so much. Like shouldn't have like suggest a back door. I mean that like you really, and then I think that, you know, I don't think that you really, to me, it's just a lot of people showing their cards way too much. Mm-hmm. Really to me, like, oh, like, why are you doing that? But I guess like if they didn't talk about this, then we wouldn't be really talking a lot about game. Mm-hmm. Or would, I don't know. I mean, what would we be talking about if we were talking about the game?
We'd find something.
Do you guys find that that's kind of what's happening, that people are really just playing very weird?
I mean, I think that sort of like the new school way of playing is forming these big alliances and trying to keep them secret. Part of what's happened with Cody and his group is that they have been a little too obvious about what they're doing. They're hanging out all the time together. And so they kind of got caught as being an alliance, but they still have a couple of like sleeper agents like Christmas, who's like running around and giving them info. So they're still able to control that flow of information, and also win all the competitions and remain in power.
Right. Right.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the structure right now is just that all of the sleeper agents are really the ones who Janelle and Kacer would need to scoop up in order to do anything. And of course, they all feel comfortable with the big alliance. So, you know, there's so many branches out from there in concentric circles. But yeah, we've talked a lot about recently, like, is Big Brother broken by just having these big alliances form early on and then, you know, get rid of the stragglers, and then halfway through the game, that's when they turn on each other. Is there anything else that can be done, barring some kind of twist, to change that this season?
Yeah, you know, I have been reading that, but I, you know, I think that there are just so too many cracks in this big alliance. Like, I mean, Memphis is already on the outs. I think Danny is already kind of like feeling like I need to like make a move. So, you know, those big alliances never last. They never, right? Mm. They always.
I mean, excluding like season 16, yeah. And even then, they broke it apart in different ways.
Yeah. But they never last.
It's true and it's not true, where it's like that, you know, the core does seem to last, where it's like, yeah, the 8-person alliance never lasts, but it's sort of like that the 3 or 4 people that are sort of at the center of it are, you know, they're usually not going to turn against each other until the very end of the game. So you have all these people that are sort of like the middle management that are like, hey, oh, we got a yeah. shot at this. All right, we're hanging in there. They're in the 8. But I think that like we have to see like a season where the people who are sort of like on the periphery wake up and say like, hey, I don't think we're in the real alliance. I don't think that this is, I think that there's something else going on. And, you know, I'm reminded of the great Chris Rock said to the women listening that if you have been dating a guy for 4 months and you have not met any of his friends, you are not his girlfriend. That I think the same could be true with these big alliances. Hmm. You are not in the big alliance. You're in it, but you're not really in it.
You know, yeah, I don't know if I agree. You really have to be in it to mm-hmm. get far. I mean, I don't know. Do you?
It's like these people are like cling to these lottery tickets. Like, all right, well, like my number's gonna come up. That I think this you know banks off the wall this way, and I get this bounce. I got a shot at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Like I see what you're saying, but there are people, you know, you could see a world where Christmas makes it to final two, final three, if Tyler is the one who succeeds from the big alliance and takes her to the end. I mean, she probably has not a great chance of winning unless she started changing things up and making moves earlier. But yeah, those periphery people can make it farther. It's just not a winning strategy.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that some of those people that are on the periphery make it to the end, and some of them they win because of the jealousy that goes on in the jury. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of like, how do you fix it? You really can't. I mean, if there was some kind of something put in place, it's like, you need to start building your resume or you're not going to win. I don't know how they could put that in, but you know, there's really no way around that. Right.
Yeah, I mean, like you have people like Ian, who was on the periphery. He was in a fake alliance that turned out to be a real alliance just because of how the competitions played out. And like he, you know, ends up winning. But that was largely due to like winning a bunch of competitions. And then even, you know, Steve is another example of somebody who is kind of on the outside of a big alliance and won because he was able to win that last competition, cut Vanessa. So I think what it comes down to is the ability to win those competitions and really bolster your resume and get yourself to the end instead of having the jury feel like you got dragged to the end, is definitely a major aspect of it. Part of the problem, I think, in the modern seasons is that the competitions have been shifting much more physical. These big set pieces, you know, look at last season when Jackson was just beasting these obstacle courses and Nicole was just like trying to climb rock walls and like trying to keep up and like it just wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, I mean, there's always going to be an element if you put physical competitions in any show that it's just not fair. I mean, we can't just have a whole season of puzzles and endurance, and that would just be super boring. So there's always going to be that element that these physical challenges are just, they're just for the guys. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and we've been seeing more and more of them in recent seasons. Like looking at the percentages, it was like something like 16 or 30% of competitions were physical in season 19. And then in season 20, it was like 60% in the late game mm-hmm. were physical. So they've been like more than doubling the amount of physical competitions in recent seasons. And I think that helps these big alliances because they just get all the big bros together and they beast a bunch
That's
of
why
competitions.
They call it big bro.
Yeah, they're just trying
it's
to get
right
it back
there in
to
the
namesake.
Parent. Yeah,
but it's been there all along.
The only two real women that have a fighting chance at any of those physical comps is Christmas and Janelle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
I also think that the 16-person cast is also too big. Not to just pile on like an airing of the grievances of all things of modern Big Brother, but I do think that 16 people is too many, because then you get to this point where, well, if you want to, you know, upset the Big Alliance, the Big Alliance has like 10, 11 people to start mm-hmm. off the game, and then everybody's like, well, I can't be seen talking to the people that are on the outs, because I could so easily be replaced in the Big Alliance. There's like numbers like 7, 8, 9 are all looking to like rat me out and take my spot in the Big Alliance, so I can't even talk to these people.
I tend to agree with you on that, honestly. It's like last night when we were watching the show, I was like, God, there's so many people still on that couch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is gonna take forever, you know. So I tend to agree.
We saw like the Nicole Anthony Janelle Cates, they were trying to put together a group of seven, and you know, inevitably, you know, you're gonna run into somebody who's a double agent for the other side.
Yeah,
so many people.
I completely agree, Rob.
The alliance, but there's nowhere to go after because we're all in the alliance.
Yeah, because I think with more people, you like the more people that get grouped up, the more you do see this sort of mob mentality of like, you know, now it's a huge group of people and then we just outcast to the others. But when there's a fewer amount of people in the house, start with 14 or 12, each individual has so much more agency that they feel empowered to be able to make their own kinds of moves. But when you're one of 16, it's like, what can I do in this game by myself? I need to hook up with people. And if I'm hooking up with people, then all of a sudden I found my way either into a big alliance or mm-hmm. on the out of it.
Right. And if you have the 14 person cast or something, it's like an alliance of four or five can do a lot more damage than they could in a 16 person cast or whatever. How's this for an outside idea? So, you know, we've been saying these big alliances are a problem. You just, if you're safe and you win the competitions, then that's it. You're safe for the rest of the game. Looking at it from the resume perspective, this is something actually that, you know, MTV's The Challenge tried this season, was like, okay, we're tired of having these people who can just basically get to the end and be safe the whole time. We need them to build a resume. So we're going to make it a requirement that you basically have to go on the block, you know, in for like a Big Brother. So what if it was like a requirement that you, in this season, you know, to win the game, you needed to be vulnerable at some point?
Interesting. So every single player, it's a requirement that 1 week you must touch the block.
Yeah, something like that. Like, you can't, there's going to be a point in the game, you can't make it to the final unless that happens. Now, that's obviously a huge game breaker. I'm just trying to think if there's anything that you could throw in, try once. You know, we've had 22 seasons of Big Brother. Try
Mary,
something.
Don't encourage them, because they're just going to be like, all right, Mary suggested we try more things. So how about Battle of the Block 2.0? I don't trust them.
I don't know. Maybe it should be something with, like, you know, it should be teams, or it should, the game needs to change in a way where the structure of it, I think, needs to just be, you know, tweaked a bit, where it's like we're coming in as teams, or do you know what I mean? Like, so you don't build an alliance because it's like, these are the, I mean, I don't know.
I thought of that in the past too. And obviously that's something that sort of happened in season four, of they set up a structure where it's the us versus them. It's the, you know, it's the original seven or whatever, original eight, I think. I don't remember how many people there were. We just talked about this for months.
The Elite Eight, right.
And then the X's. And so they already set up that structure of sort of two teams, which were, you know, allowed for some back and forth. And similar thing just sort of happened in season six, you know, with the friendship and the other people.
Right.
Sovereign Six.
And that's really where it began, the whole big alliance thing, because no one, I mean, before with Big Brother 3, talk about a slow burn and talk about really not a lot of strategy going on except for Danielle and Jason. Isn't that kind of the truth? But yeah, that's where it all began, that big alliance thing. And look how long that lasted, about 20 minutes. So... That was terrible.
So, Erica, if we see Kacer or Janelle split up this week, which one of the two do you think has the better chance to go further without the other one?
Oh, 100% Kacer has more of a chance to, because Janelle is just a huge target. With her gone, he's still a target, but he's less of a target, because alone, I mean, I don't think we've never seen Kacer play alone.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I mean, we know his deal. We know that he's very loyal, but we've never seen him try to kind of like, he's always come in very protected whenever he's played. So that would be, he would be very dangerous if he was in there alone.
He's never been in there without Janelle.
Right. And I think, you know, that's such a great, genuine way of connecting with people. But I don't know that. I mean, that's an old school mentality. That's kind of like how I appreciate the game. And maybe like these kids are like, oh, I don't really fucking care about, like, who cares about Kacer? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately he'd be more dangerous, because she's just going to, you know, she's just going to win competitions and then never going to be able to get her out. Ever.
We saw you connect to Kacer in All Stars, which it seems like he's able to have these like deep personal conversations with people that are like these really good conversations. He's so wise. He has great advice. But he doesn't seem to be able to convert that into like game relationships, as you are aware. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what makes him such not a strong player. I mean, okay, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that over the years, maybe he's thought about a strategy to come in playing a little bit different. But I think that his strength is also his weakness. So because he is the way he is, I don't know if he's going to be able to, like I said earlier, when they saw him in the diary room, like, I'm going to get him this year. They're never going to see me coming. I'm like, oh, I don't think so. But no, maybe he's changed. Maybe he's going to be able to he can backstab, or he can, you know, you got to be ruthless. There has to be a part of this game where you have to backstab one, you have to lie to people. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that.
Can you just elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I think this is very interesting what you're talking about how that he has like great personal connection, but he can't turn that into a game relationship. How do you pivot from one to the other, and what makes somebody good at that?
I don't know how you can... You know, he's so genuine, and I think that his integrity is it fights the whole game of Big Brother, because the whole game of Big Brother is maneuvering, and you know, within all of those maneuvers, you have to lie. You know, you have to lie, and you can't ultimately tell the truth to everybody in the game. And I think that is why it's hard for him to take all his strengths and make it far in the game of Big Brother, because. Mm-hmm. He's who he is to his core is the opposite of what you need to be to get to the end, I think. But, you know, that being said, he could have been watching all these seasons and like, you know, maybe I could do that, or maybe I can get that far, and, you know, maybe I won't have to lie there. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to watch him get that far.
Did you ever doubt Kacer's what he was saying in the way that, so like we saw Nicole Anthony this week Kacer and Janelle are campaigning for her to stay. Kacer has these great conversations with her where he talks about how they're working for her and how he likes her. And Nicole is sitting there like, this guy, he's tricking me. He set me up. Is there something like, is that specific to Nicole or is there something about Kacer and Janelle, maybe both of them, that comes off that's hard to get across?
It's too good to be true. Because you're thinking like, oh, these two are really good Big Brother players. So I know they're scamming me. But if you know anything about either one of their games, is that they're very straightforward. You know, they're not, Janelle hates sneaky people. Like she does not like people who are not, you know, like this is where I stand. Like Janelle only wants to know, and you could be totally on the other side, but she needs to know where you stand. At least that's my perception of her. And I think when you're in the house and you see people that are like very straightforward, like Kacer and Janelle, you're like, oh, they can't be possibly being truthful. You know, they're playing me, but that's who they are, I think.
It's like the image of the person, the knowledge that they are a legend is sort of taking precedent over, wait a second, let me think, how did they really play? What were they really like in their alliances? And if people stopped down and did that, which is really funny when you look at the people who are in the big alliance, which are maybe, you know, slightly lower down on some of this like legend tier. But if you look at their alliances, like, come on, guys, they always make these big alliances. They always have the parachutes and who are not really with you. They always get far and are going to cut you at some point and are the more sort of conniving people. So it's really funny that people aren't waking up to that.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that they would know, they would have studied, they would have had an idea of how these, of who they were going to be with and how they played the game. But, you know, you bring so much other stuff into the game because it's like, you know, you're stripped away from your family and, you know, these are like they become your family. And it's just like all that kind of logic and all that strategy and all the stuff that you think you're going to come and play. And it just kind of goes out the window because it becomes very emotional. I mean, you look at Nicole and she, you know, that she wants to come in and she wants to play really well, but she's such an emotional person that she can't, you know, she's like, my mom said I have to be ruthless. And, you know, she just, it's so hard. It's hard. It's such a hard game. It's so hard. It's beyond anything anyone thinks it is. It's just very difficult to be stripped away from your world and put into that world where everyone is in a game, you know?
Erica, could I ask to put you as one of the people in the house, hypothetically, if it's going to be Janelle and Kacer up on the block? You sort of like told us the pros and cons of both of the players. Do you think that the right move is to get rid of Kacer again on the block versus Janelle because that Janelle is never going to be forgotten about where Kacer has a better chance to get under the radar potentially?
Yes, I would keep Janelle 100%, 100%. Well, because, you know, like I said, you know where she stands. Plus, if you're protected with her, she's going to win competitions. She's always going to be the bigger target. Kacer would be much, much more dangerous to keep in the game, for sure.
Yeah, interesting. So,
you guys think so?
I personally, I think from a strategy point of view, that would be good. But I don't know how the house would be leaning. Taryn, I know it's early and they're not even, nominations didn't even come out yet. But do you think that that's what the house would do?
As of right now, they're leaning more toward Janelle going home first. They've seen it happen three times before where Janelle and Kacer, or at least two times before the Janelle and Kacer are on the block together and Kacer goes home.
Yeah, at least some of them have seen it happen before.
Right.
I don't understand like why like any of these players like Day or Danny or any of those people can like grab her and like, take, you know, like she's such a great person to have as a shield. And, you know, she's always going to fight to the death to win those competitions. And, you know, she's loyal.
We haven't seen the women use the meat shield strategy yet that much. They probably should. I mean, this is like, well, yes, yes. But with other women, mm-hmm. I mean, but like Janelle is one of the perfect people. Plus, if Janelle has no one, like you're saying, you know, she probably could win competitions, and if you could keep that somewhat under wraps. But I think the thing is, like Terrence mentioned, there's already some people who are sort of doing that with Kacer, like hoping, banking on going off in that direction eventually, or using him if Janelle goes home.
Yeah. And another big thing is that Janelle was 1 point away from winning that HOH competition, and they live in fear of her competition record.
They should live in fear.
Yeah. So if they have the opportunity.
If you have her, you know, if you have her on your side, then that's like, you know, that's a bonus. That's a fear that should other people should have. Just scoop her up, you know. Mm-hmm. It's either way, both of, you know, it's apples or oranges. No.
Yeah. Erica, I'd love to know if you had any interactions with some of these other players that we saw brought back this season. I feel like that you must have crossed paths with Enzo at some point, right?
No, I haven't. You know who I know, and I know fairly well? I helped cast Big Brother Over the Top.
Okay.
So he was in casting for BBOT. And
who
was
it?
Tyler.
Tyler, got it.
So I know Tyler from casting, and he's great. I mean, he's great. I think he's actually pretty great.
Yeah.
How
did can we get you to help?
I don't know. You know, it's, you know, I always say it, especially since I'm in casting, it's all about the dynamic among the group, and you know, who they think is going to, you know, gel with who or fight with who. And I think he just didn't like that mix, but you know, he's on now, so you see the greatness that is him. Well, I mean, Big Brother Over the Top was a great cast, so.
Yeah, can we get you to help cast regular Big Brother?
Yeah, that was a different, just for people who are saying like, wait, why is it different? But it was a different casting team for that season, right?
Yeah, it was Jesse Tannenbaum and his team. So he hired me to help him with that, and it was great. And he's such a huge fan. So that maybe that, not that Robin isn't, and Robin is great. And, you know, I think that it's, you know, she's had a lot of seasons to cast, and I think she's done a hell of a great job. But, you know, it's not a lot of what goes on is not really up to Robin. It's, you know, she'll present people who she thinks are going to be great, and it's not really her decision who to select. I mean, she, yes, will, you know, present as many people that she thinks are great as possible, but ultimately the network decides.
Yeah. Okay.
So, blame the network. Don't blame the cast.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? And I don't know if you could talk about this. Does the casting team, they come up with a list. Does the production team also get a pass at who they want or don't want, or is that already factored into what casting presents to the network?
Yeah, so it goes kind of up the chain. So it starts with the casting team. The casting team presents to the producers, and then it's like, I'm showing my bosses. Mm-hmm. My bosses then show their bosses, and then it goes up the top. So, you know, casting.
And over the top.
And over the top. Nice. Nicely done. So it starts with the casting team, goes to the production team. The production team pitches the network, and the network pitches to the top dog at the network. And that's the system.
Were you surprised in Big Brother 20 when Tyler had so much success?
Not at all. Not at all. I thought he was really great in casting. There were a lot of really, really good people in casting for Over the Top, as you saw. I'm not surprised that he's doing well. Mm-hmm. All those people were great. Really, really good, solid cast.
Did you originally see Tyler the way that some of us did in the preseason, thinking like, this is just like a surfer bro that's like a little weird?
You know, because I got to get to know him during casting, I knew, obviously got to know him, but of course, first impression, you're like, okay, you know, he's like a surf guy with the long hair, but he's just darling. He's just really a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Good, sweet guy.
Did he pull out those glasses in casting when he came out?
Glasses? I remember. Yeah. No, I don't think
those are new.
Those are new.
Yeah.
I really
trying
like
to rebrand.
He's one of my picks to win this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somehow, Erica, he's in a really great position, and we came in to this season like, well, nobody's going to let Tyler do Tyler things again. Everybody knows what Tyler is capable of, and here he is doing all the Tyler stuff.
Right. I mean, you know, when you fall into a strategy, it's really hard to then change how you play the game. I mean, like I said, I came in my first season. I was in an alliance. I was in a big alliance and I was in a small alliance. But then, you know, seeing that that didn't get me to the end, I was like, well, let me try this other strategy, which is the floater strategy. But I don't think that's like I did that intentionally. Like it was an intentional thing. So, you know, I don't know if people really think about that as like, I'm going to like, well, I did that. But I guess he kind of did. He said in the diary room, like, well, here I go again. Just like working all sides of the house. I mean, he's just that people come to him. So he just has that thing where people want to like be around him. He's like one of those kind of magnetic personalities and he's so nice. And he, you know, of course these people are just going to want to align with him. And he's like, I can't say no, which you shouldn't say no. Mm-hmm. Like to the point of Devon saying, I'm going to just put a pin in that for a second. When someone came to her with an alliance and she was like, who was it? Was it someone? Talk to me.
Yeah.
Kaser, right?
Yeah. Kaser was approaching her about joining their alliance to keep Nicole. She wanted to read the fine print.
Right. I mean, really, you don't say that at the Big Brother house. I want to read the fine print. I mean, why would you do that? Of course you just say yes, right? Mm-hmm. Would you just
She's afraid. They're all afraid of being associated with Janelle and Kaser, mm-hmm. lest they be the next target.
Well, it doesn't have to be it could be a secret.
Janelle and Kaser are pretty vocal sometimes.
That is one thing about them that you know where they stand, and you also know where everyone else in their alliance stands.
Yeah.
So it's not good. That's not good. I mean, that's just one of their weaknesses. Is that like that? She can't be sneaky. She's not sneaky, and she's like shout it loud and proud that these are like my peeps, you know. And that's a hard way to win the game. When you're really like, oh, we all know where you guys are. Well, here we all are. And if there's no secret, then who's going to win? So we'll see. Anyone's game, I think.
Erica, have you ever crossed paths with Ian?
I haven't. And I don't know if I'm that much of a Ian fan.
Well, I was going to say to you that Ian has told me, I'm sure he said it on the podcast, that the person that he wanted to play the most like in Big Brother, they had asked him, like, who are you going to play like? He said that my ideal player that I want to emulate is Jack Owens.
Jack Owens. That's so interesting. That's an old school player. Old school, old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack couldn't win competitions.
Nope.
But I don't know if I would emulate Jack. I mean, love Jack. Jack's one of my best friends, but I don't know if someone that I would, you know, look to.
I'm sure that's what he said. I don't know if he did a good job or not, but that's something that he said before.
Well, he didn't go around giving everyone army names, so that's that's not as good there.
You know, it's really hard to be the oldest person. You know, I don't know how any of the people that are cast that are like over 50 or the 50-year-olds that are in there with all those kids, it's so hard. It's so hard because they don't look at you as an equal. You're really an outsider, and that's really unfair. That is really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
What's the expression? Wasn't stacked in his favor. The deck wasn't stacked in his favor.
Yeah. So, but you think Ian is going to be in trouble here?
You know, I think like what we were talking about before, I don't understand why we are not targeting winners. Like, shouldn't we be that like our first thing? We should all like go after the winners because they've won this before and they actually kind of know what they're doing. But I don't really know him much of a player. I don't think I watched a little bit of that season. Did he beat Dan?
He did.
Yeah. In the final two, he basically went on a competition run. He was immune for like 5 or 6 weeks in a row. And then was vulnerable for 1 week. And that was when Dan flipped the script on Danielle and Shane in the final four. And then he won the final three HOH, took Dan with him and beat Dan 6-1.
I think I remember not agreeing with that decision.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there was something coming up in my head thinking like, that was not right. But I can't remember specifics. I did watch that season now that it's coming back. And I remember now thinking that Dan got robbed.
Yeah.
But
they were very dead set on not allowing a winner to win again. Which is funny because now Ian is a winner and he's playing on this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, based on the current trend, it looks like they're just trying to get America's favorite players out. So,
yeah. That's so boring. Isn't it boring? Mm-hmm. So boring.
Erica, what about Kevin? Have you ever run into him?
I don't know Kevin. Let me see if there's anyone else that I know on this cast. I know Danny. I know Memphis. I know Tyler. I think that's it. I think I've met Keisha.
Yes.
Maybe I met Christmas once.
Are you invited to Nicole Franzl's wedding?
No. I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I will be, you know, trying to be the ring bearer at some point. I really try to get that going.
Yeah. How much?
You're not one of her bridesmaids.
Yeah, not one of the bridesmaids. Have you kept up with Janelle over the years?
You know, we used to talk, you know, here and there over the years, just like a hello, but no, we don't really. I mean, we follow each other on Instagram and I always like say, hey, and we like each other's stuff and, you know, like do all what the kids do nowadays, like stuff. But, you know, we don't, you know, no, does anyone talk to anybody anymore? Don't we just like each other on
Instagram? Yeah, we like, that's pre-gaming.
Or we follow or we unfollow when we're mad and, no, kind of like we're following each other, so I guess we're in good
So you didn't hear from her about this Amazing Race beef?
No, I didn't. I've just heard about this recently, and I guess it's because Nicole did something to Rachel. Is it Rachel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, well, you know, like I said, she's very, you know, she's lots of integrity. So if you screw with one of her peeps, she's not going to like that. So
come for you.
She will come for you. She will come hard. She will come for you.
Yeah. This season is I think that this is, you know, maybe potentially like a boring week coming up. But I do think that there is like where Tyler was sort of at the center of everything in Big Brother 20, that I do feel like that this is a little bit more like a Game of Thrones setup, where you do have like four or five different power players that are on the board right now. And it will be very interesting to see this tug of war between Tyler, Danny, and Nicole Franzl, you know, or Cody, or like all these different people that are trying to pull this thing in different directions to see ultimately where this is going to go.
I'm interested to know who you think those power players are, like who is going to be pulling who where.
Well, I think that Tyler is certainly...
I want to know who the houses are. We can really do.
Yeah, I think that okay, well, I think there's House Crispin. I think that that's yes. Sort of you know, it's a big house. One of the
yes, he's got Christmas as a spy of one of his little birds, Varys style.
Yes,
I like it.
I mean, I think there's House Donato, which certainly you know, nobody should sleep on. I don't know if she has a ton of power in the house, but she's definitely a player who
kind of the Cersei.
Yeah, don't mess with her. Although I wonder if House Franzl is also a Cersei Lannister-esque character in all of this. So she's going to be certainly pulling. And then you also have like some people who are also like big stakeholders in this thing, like Cody and Enzo and Memphis. And then there's also people that are just like, you know, really smart people that are sort of like being cast aside and not having a lot of power necessarily, like Ian and Kacer and Kevin. You have Bailey and Davon are sort of like their own house. They have stuff going on. So
like the Tyrells. Memphis is the hound.
Yeah. I think the thing is, you have a couple houses here that are like trying to propose marriage to each other and like get a bond going, but there's like multiple marriage deals which is getting confusing. You know, it's like, well, we've agreed for a potential marriage with House Tyrell, but then House Calafiore is over here, and you know, it's getting confusing. So it's like a lot of Venn diagrams overlapping, and it's which ones are gonna win.
Yeah, Cody is the Baratheons, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's just that, you know, Janelle and Kaser, everybody being focused on them is just blocking everybody else from like the main event that's coming. So yeah, one does have to go here.
Yeah, they're the Targaryen siblings.
Right.
One of them's
right.
gonna get a golden crown soon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one's gonna get a golden crown, but one's gonna come back with some dragons, so it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you never know. You know, they could win the safe. One of them can win. Who can win the safety suite? So question about the safety suite. Can Kaser play for it? Or are they?
No. They already used
it. Neither of them can play, yeah.
That's kind of boring.
Yeah. Erica, let me ask you, with your Big Brother expertise, do you think that we will have somebody come back into the game? If not one of the first two people out, then somebody who goes out soon will be returning.
No, I mean, I never really liked that twist. I just think that's just lame. Mm-hmm. I just think it's like we did all this work to like get this person out and now they're back. It's like, what did we do that whole 1 week for? You know, if they're all of a sudden back in the mix, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't that just seem like lame? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree. I'm really because I hate it when they bring people back. It's like, oh,
it never works out. Nothing.
I know. And it could actually end up screwing things up with just the season overall, where if Janelle or Kaser goes home and then they bring them back a week later, then we have to have a whole another week to just get rid of the one of them again. It's just like more time ticking off the clock where like there could have been mm-hmm. a bigger split in this alliance.
Yeah, that's what happened last season, too, mm-hmm. with the whole camp comeback thing. It's like we almost had an explosion, but then it just got postponed.
And the season before that, when they were about level six was about to start fighting, and then what's his name came back?
Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we gotta come up with some better twists, I think. Some freshness. I think there needs to be it either has to be like just a cool new fresh twist, and I don't know if it's the safety suite, or you just get rid of all of the twists.
Oh yeah, back to basics.
Just go back to like the Big Brother that we all know and love, of like people strategizing and maneuvering, and like that's it. Like, why did we have to break the game?
Yeah, bring us back to season 10. Like 12 to 14 people, no twists.
What Memphis is trying to do.
Yeah, it's so back in 1943 mm-hmm. when the show was good.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, I'll kill him. I'm like, if Memphis is old, Jesus, should I just bring out my walker already? Mm-hmm. Lord.
How do you feel about this safety suite twist?
I kind of like it. I mean, it's fine. I guess it's just like another chance for these people to like, I don't know. It's okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, okay. Whenever they show another twist, I'm always kind of like, okay, I guess we have to like get, you know, I got to get on board with this now. It's not like I was like, ooh, that's brilliant, a safety suite. But, you know, I guess it's another opportunity to watch some people strategize. And I guess that's interesting. I really would like to see more people playing the game, like strategizing, and like, you know, just like this whole big alliance thing is just so lame because like no one is doing it. They're just like, okay, we're just like, here are these six people, and this is what we're gonna do for now. And it's like, it's just boring. It's boring. It's boring to watch.
I think we heard that Memphis is lame. Mm-hmm. And
that's what Tyler said the other night.
Well, so maybe they'll break up. Maybe that this alliance will break up. The big alliance. I mean, don't we feel like that's kind of happening? I mean, even if they put Janelle and Kaser on the block, it's highly doubtful that they're going to do a back-to-back situation. Like, if we get Janelle, they're probably going to say that now. It's probably not going to happen because we'll maneuver.
Nobody wants to waste their HOH on the second half of this thing. Right. They're like, hey, this is my shot to make my move.
That's not a resume builder at all. So, it's just, that doesn't make any sense. But,
Danny is already talking about, like, Danny never liked Tyler very much. She did not like him on his season. She came in not liking him. She met him. She was like, oh, he's nice. But like anytime he does anything that she finds off, she's like, ah, ha ha, I knew I didn't like you. And so she's already talking about, like, he's good. He won that HOH. We got to take a shot sometime.
Ooh. That's a little bit scary. Who has she talked to about that? Because, you know, no one can keep a secret in that house.
Nicole Franzel, and they are friends, you know, so I think that'll stay with them for now. But Franzel might tell Cody, and Cody might not like it. So that would be interesting.
Interesting. Well, you know, they're going to have to turn on each other at some point, so might as well now kind of create those alliances within the alliance, so that you, when it does start, you kind of have some safety within that.
Right. Erica, do you have anything else about Big Brother 22 that you want to share with us?
I'm just excited to watch it again. I'm just, you know, it's such a hard time right now with this COVID thing and all of us just being stuck in our house. It's just kind of a fun escape. And, you know, even though I can bitch and moan about certain things that are bad, I still love this game. I love this cast. I'm just happy to watch it.
Are you a live feeds person, Erica?
I'm not, you know, I think I watched it maybe one season, and I'm trying to think of what season that was. It was some season that I got like a free pass. Like one of my friends was like, oh, you can have my login. And I like watched and I watched and I just, I couldn't like, because I think because I'd gone through it, I'm like, oh, I know like what this looks like. Literally like for me watching paint dry. So, you know, because there's just nothing. I mean, I don't know. No, to answer your question.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean, I would love to, but I don't think it's for me. I mean, but I do.
That's what live feed updates are for.
Yeah.
I like watching your updates. They're great. And I do think that there's a lot missing. Now that I've watched the show for many seasons after I've been on, there's so much that is not included in the edited version of, and I understand that, you know, it's such a quick turnaround. You know, they have to like, they shoot the show, then they have to edit the show. They have to get, you know, so I get, but I think there's so much missing. I remember watching my season when I got off. I was like, oh my God, like that's not even the tip of the iceberg of what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that I would say is like my only kind of complaint about the show is that I wish there was more time, but.
Erica, that this season with David being on the cast, that it's been said that, he's like the Chicken George this season. Do you think, is that a fair comparison? And do you have any good Chicken George stories?
How is he the Chicken George, exactly? I don't understand. I don't just see
a little in over his head, maybe.
Yeah.
Let me think. I think that, you know, first of all, I think he's lovely. He seems like a lovely guy, like super sweetheart. I do think he's kind of in over his head. I mean, with the fact that he was yelling at the competition, that it cracked me up. And I think it's funny. I think he's just, he's a little out league. But you know what? He could grow. If he's in there, he could grow. He could watch. There's some great players in here he could watch. So, I mean, right now he's not currently hanging out with those players, so maybe he's not going to learn, but I think he's, don't count him out just yet.
Okay.
Did you ever consider playing for All-Stars? Did they contact you? Did you think about playing again?
I never thought about playing again. I think twice was enough punishment for me. But, you know, I don't think they'd want me back because I don't think that they thought I was like the most dynamic because I know how to get onto a show because that's my job, but I also wanted to win Big Brother. So, you know, I'm not going to go in there, bitches, you know, get a life raft or whatever. I'm not going to win Big Brother if I'm like just going to be that kind of outspoken. No, to answer your question, I was not asked, and no, I would not do it. It's for me, it's just so much fun watching the show, and it's Big Brother.
Yeah.
Bitches get a life raft is my new favorite.
Is it? Wait, what was? What did they say? Did I
floaters?
Floaters. Grab a life vest.
First, we'll grab a life
vest. Kristen.
Right. So yeah.
Right. Mary or Taryn, do you have any Big Brother 4 unanswered questions or mysteries that you could finally get the answers to from Erica?
One of the things that we were talking about at the end of Big Brother 4 was we were kind of going back and forth. Did Allie try to throw that final three HOH on purpose by writing zero? Or did she really think that Justin was going to say zero because they were never really dating?
Shoot, I don't know. I don't remember that. Why am I totally drawing a blank? And I don't think that Allie is not the throw a competition type at all. She's a lot like Janelle in the fact where she's very kind of a, you know, like, I'm going to win. I have to win the competition. Like, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I could totally be wrong, but.
She's somebody who's completely like disappeared off the radar where I've never seen anything at, like, ever. Like, she did the Amazing Race after, was that after season 4? And then she did the All Stars. And then I think since then, I don't ever remember seeing anything about her ever again.
Yeah. And that's too bad because she's good TV.
Yeah.
She's kind of fun to watch on the season. Like a more mature Allie, like where did she, you know, like where, what, how would she play? Like, that's definitely someone I think that would have been great on this cast. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think she's just married and has kids. And it's so fun to watch all these married people with kids on the season. I mean, I guess because I'm older that I'm like, oh, look at like all these people in their 40s. I'm like, I fit right in. It's fun. It's fun.
Do you think that if Allie had really like owned her betrayal of you, instead of like playing up the little sister role, like, oh, what can I do? But had been like, sorry, like, you're done. I got you. Do you think you would have been more likely to vote for her?
You know, I would have loved to have been able to reconnect with her and like make that work. But she's just so not trustworthy. She doesn't really know how. She is a floater of all floaters. So she's not loyal. She's not loyal at all. So that's why I would not, she'll stab you in the back like that.
So. Yeah, that's something we noticed in Big Brother 4 when going through was that there seemed to be a point in the game, you know, about two-thirds in, where you and Jack had a conversation and then it sort of ballooned out to the rest of the people in the house about, okay, well, Allie and June, neither of them can win. Obviously, they're playing the worst. But in the crazy event where they got to the end together, you know, which one would win? And then you guys sort of went back and forth and settled on June. We were wondering, was that kind of locked in at that point, or was there anything Allie could have done in the last several rounds of the game to change that, you think?
You know, ultimately, and this is just like I'm just going to throw this out there. Ultimately, Big Brother becomes a game of, it's a popularity contest at the end. Mm-hmm. It's as much as people say it's not, and we're going to all vote for the best player. That's just, you will all ultimately vote for who you like more, who you think you want. It's never like so straightforward where it's like, mm-hmm. They played a better game. I mean, we would all love to think that that's what it is, but it's just not. So I think we all, you know, we all connected with June more. She was able to make those connections. And I think that that's what ultimately won her the game. Okay. And Allie wasn't. Allie did not, she was not able to do that. So, you know, if she had, it would have been a more of a competition. Mm-hmm.
Erica, where could people keep up with what you're doing?
Oh my gosh. I'm just living my life. Mm-hmm. I live in Los Angeles. I'm still a casting director. I actually just locked our season six cast of Below Deck Mediterranean on Bravo.
Whoa.
So it's very exciting. I mean, we're my husband and I, we have a casting company. We're also developing shows. So that's what I'm doing. I don't really have, we have a website. It's actually Richland Entertainment. .com. And that's where you can kind of see what I'm doing.
Can you spell that?
Yeah. So it's Rich. It's his last name and my last name. So Rich Land Entertainment.
Yeah.
Richland Entertainment Inc.com.
Yes. Okay.
that's where you can keep up with what I'm doing.
Yeah, Erica, it's so nice to get to catch up with you. That it's been so long. I think a lot of the listeners probably don't know that we go way back. Do you have any embarrassing stories you want to tell about me? People love that.
Oh my God, no. I always thought that we connected really well. I always, you know, I think that I adore you. I adore your wife. And I'm just happy that we're still friends over all these years.
Yeah.
And no, it's nothing embarrassing.
Okay. Well, people like to, you know, have a good laugh at my expense. No, so if you ever have if anything ever comes to mind.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, I think you're probably one of the best survivors to ever play the game. I'm sad that I don't ever get to see you play it again. Like, why not? I'm flipping the script.
Yeah, they don't need me. They're fine. Did you watch Winners at War, Erica?
I did.
Yeah. Did you see any parallels between this season of Big Brother and Winners at War?
Gosh. I don't know. That just like kind of like threw me for a loop. I don't know. You know, those were all winners. We only have two winners. I mean, like, it's a lot of patterns and not a lot of Batmans going on.
Yeah.
Right now, so it's not really winners at war, it's second placers at war. Not really. I mean, I think that Survivor is just talk about a game that goes really, really fast now. I mean, that they're just like it's a different alliance, like every tribal. I can't even keep up. I'm like, my husband's like, I have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in that way, the pace has gotten faster for both shows. And I guess that's kind of the similarities that's happening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that the answer you're looking for?
I just am curious to know if you see anything as somebody who's, you know, a insider who's been around these shows for a long time and sees people come back.
I've always thought that the games are similar, except for the fact that you guys starve and we get a hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would always like sit in the hot tub. We're like, those crazy survivors starving over there in that jungle, all bitten up. Here I'm in my hot tub with my wine cooler.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Harder game. But.
Erica, well, so nice to get the catch up. Of course, if people want to follow what Mary is up to, Mary, where can people go?
You can follow me at Frail Mary everywhere. Send me your shepherd pie recipes.
Oh, well, you make your own shepherd's pie.
I mean, maybe I need to try, apparently. I mean, I didn't know it was that easy. So maybe I'll do that this weekend.
Okay. All right. We want to hear more about how this goes, Mary.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, were we just having the shepherd pie delivered before then? Or then you have somebody in your family that makes them?
Get my mom to make it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just arrives, right? And it's delicious. So I feel like I'm an adult now. I guess I need to learn to do that myself.
Yeah. Taryn, you wouldn't touch a shepherd's pie with a 10-foot pole, right?
It would need to be Julie's 10-foot fly swatter.
Yeah, you would be socially distanced from a shepherd's pie at all possible times, right?
Yeah. Keep me away from pies. Not into it.
No pies. Taryn, I wanted tell you. I've been putting a big scoop of Greek yogurt in my cereal lately, and I love it.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a pro tip for everybody out there. Okay. Taryn, of course, you're covering these live feeds. You'll be back tomorrow morning. You have the live feed update from today. We talked to Nicole Anthony. You've got the Saturday night roundtable coming up at 9 p.m. What else?
Live feed updates every day. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We'll be live Sunday night to recap the episode.
Okay. Yeah. Looking forward to catching up with you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.